Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And today, again, is Monday, August the 3rd. I'm Tim here with Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Have a good weekend?
It was a good weekend, yeah. I was on praise team. My wife and I, we both sang at church.
What was the sermon on?
We are going over the Book of Mark.
I took notes, actually.
That's a generalization.
Well,
all right, Tim. What was our church sermon about yesterday?
I was absent. Sorry. I walked right into that one, wasn't I? I have nothing to report on because I was violating one of the Ten Commandments there, I think. Go ahead, Steve.
I took notes. I actually wrote down notes, but I don't remember. Trying to remember what the points were.
Listen,
give me enough time and I'll think about it. I'll remember them.
I'm just messing with you, Steve.
I know, but I'm
just to make you feel a little bit better.
I don't feel bad because I just proved that I was paying attention. He was trying to get me what I was.
I can remember when Brother Don, the founder of this ministry, asked me when I was pastoring.
Oh, no.
He was doing devotion. And he said, Ed, would you preach on yesterday? And I could not, for the life of me, being put on the spot, remember what I had preached 24 hours before.
I have to brag on Chris because he has some kind of a photographic memory. I will not remember what I reported on the day before. If you ask me what Friday, what my stories were,
right,
no clue. Chris, he told me today, in fact, we were talking about a story I wanted to do. I was going to propose. I talked about it at our story meeting. It's about the athletes whose faith is actually grounded in Scripture, and they're more than just, you know, thank some generic God. They
right.
really have some depth
Man
to it.
Man upstairs.
Right. Today's athletes really have some depth, and if we want to, I can get into what one of them said, but I suggested this story, and he said, you already did it. I said, what? And I looked it up, and he was right. And it was 6 months ago.
Wow.
But he remembered.
Well, he does have that kind of memory.
Well,
you know what I think about that? I have a theory.
Yeah, about photographic memory?
Well, no, about sermons. Because when I read the Scripture, which I try to do every day,
right?
But I can't tell you exactly what I read on 10 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if you study the Bible, okay, and you go and listen to sermons at church, it all goes down into your spiritual soul, okay?
Yeah.
And affects you, even if you can't recall what you heard exactly.
Right.
As long as you're – does that make sense?
I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I can't remember what I had for lunch a year ago, but it helped me that day.
Right.
You know, and what you eat – helps you whether you can remember it or not. It's nutrition.
Right. So. Amen.
All right. He preached on 1 Timothy. I have it up now. Mark. We finished Mark. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8.
It's about women in the ministry? Let's move on.
No. And now that you have reminded me, my pastor's
I gave you a
name.
Out.
No. I have to say this. My pastor's name is Pastor Alan Simpson. Alan, A-L-L-E-N,
okay,
Simpson. And Alan, Pastor Alan is the Southern Baptist pastor, and he is one that preaches the entire counsel of Scripture. The hard passages, the easy passages, if there are such a thing.
If he's going through a book, you mean?
Or just if it's called for by what's going on in culture.
Hey, good for him.
He is brave. And I want to shout out to Pastor Allen because he preached on women in church and Paul's instructions to women about not teaching and everything.
Get out and shut up. Was that the message? Title of the message?
No, it wasn't the title of the message.
I'm sorry, I brought this up.
I'm glad you did.
I'm glad you did, because I just want to credit my pastor, Pastor Allen, who is not afraid to go there.
Any pastor who will preach all the Bible is... Yeah.
He's a man of God, and he...
You know, some pastors go through... There are a few of them, but some of them go chapter by chapter, don't they? You remember J. Vernon McGee?
Right.
Yeah, he was a
legendary radio preacher,
mm-hmm. and he went like through the whole Bible. Like,
yeah, John MacArthur would do the same thing.
Yeah,
and would take years on a book.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
In case we haven't mentioned it on this show yet, Democrats hate America. The Democrat Party is being
not all of them, but
no?
a lot of them, yeah.
And some in leadership. I'm going to play you a montage here. The Democrat Party is being influenced right now. We're talking about the Democratic Socialists of America, who are pushing them as far left as they can go. But I'm going to play you a clip of some current and former Democrat leaders kind of not thinking that much of America. You're going to hear from, in this order, Andrew Cuomo, Michelle Obama, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Joy Reid, who's not a politician, but she's a former MSNBC host, Kamala Harris, Zohran Mamdani, Hillary Clinton, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. Cut 12.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
Use the words America first. I don't like all the connotations of that.
There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
Nobody Black I know is really excited about the 4th of July because it is a celebration of slaveholders.
America has a long history of systemic racism.
We have a city where we are reckoning with the long history of racism here.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
To have a democracy, a beacon of hope, turned into one of the worst countries.
Political structures that I have to work in, that we are surrounded by, was built on slavery and genocide and rape and oppression.
The dumbing of the United States has arrived.
Sure has.
Yeah.
We just heard a bunch of it.
We did.
Some of that was old, wasn't it?
Yes.
Real old.
No, and the
old
point being that this is not, the hating of America or the running down of America is not new, and they're not doing much to try to push back. Democrats are.
Well, the far left, these socialists and Democrat socialists that are running and winning in some cases political office across the country, they do have disdain for, I mean, fundamental disdain for this. They want to change the country radically and fundamentally because they don't believe in our system of government as it exists today. They've talked about getting rid of the Senate. They've talked about going straight to the popular vote, ditching the Electoral College. They've talked about adding members to the Supreme Court.
Or getting rid of the Supreme Court and the presidency altogether.
Altogether. So these are they don't believe, some of them don't believe in prisons or borders. I mean, these are advancing. So the modern day, they do have, I would call it disdain for our country's government, our way of governing. And
you might ask, is it just every so often these leaders that are making a lot of noise? I'm going to say no, because I want to play you something that Bill Maher said over the weekend.
He's a traditional liberal.
He is a traditional liberal. And
lifelong Democrat.
And he says that his vote is now going, because of these Democrat socialists, his vote is now up for grabs.
In play.
But listen to what he said here in Cut 16.
Two Democratic congressmen released an open pledge they wanted their fellow Democratic members to sign. It said, "We are capitalist, not socialist. We want safety, not lawlessness. We are proud, not ashamed of America." These should not be hard words for a congressional Democrat to sign on to. You know how many did? Eight. Eight out of 212. Guys, really, there's got to be an easier way to lose the swing state.
Yeah.
So that is the current Congress he's talking about.
Yeah, that was part of his program, Bill Maher's program on Friday night. I saw a 9-minute clip this morning, and he went on for the whole 9 minutes, and he came with receipts. He posted on screen what these Democratic Socialists of America have been saying, and even quoted Gavin Newsom, who said, "I have no problem with what they're saying. I'll even campaign for them," which was stunning for the governor of California and probably one of the top three most recognizable Democrats who will probably be running for the presidency in 2028. So it's pretty stunning.
You know what's going to be interesting to see what plays out in November at the midterm elections, because traditionally, okay, let's take the current politics, that is the war in Iran and the price of groceries and oil and those things that are hurting President Trump and the Republican Party right now with a lot of voters. Just take that out of the mix and just say, okay, traditionally, whichever party is in the White House at the midterm, be it Democrat or Republican, the other party makes substantial gains, especially in the House of Representatives. So that's just how it's always been. So people are thinking, well, that's going to happen again this November. But we'll see, because I say that because there's, yes, you have those factors I just mentioned, which would theoretically be harmful to the Republicans and in the midterms. But if the Democrats are going to put up these far left wackadoodles, you know, then that could counter the negatives that the Republicans enter in the fall with. And so it really makes it a toss up to see what will happen. Which way will the Democrat Party go? They haven't altogether sold out to these far left wackadoodles. You still, that's what I call them. You still have, you know, I want to know, where does Barack Obama come down? Because he is a, you know, he is a very liberal, but he's mainstream Democrat Party over the years, right?
Right.
And so who's going to win out on the Democrat side? The people that Bill Maher says I can't vote for, and that James Carville, another Democrat strategist, for the best known for his
John Fetterman.
Yeah, these are Democrats, and they're saying we can't support these people. By these people, they're also very anti-Israel, mm-hmm. and anti-Semitic in many ways. And that's a hard pill that for these traditional Democrats to swallow.
I was just going to say, you're saying that the midterms might be closer than expected because
yes.
these DSA candidates are going to make the election about them, not about the Republicans.
Yes.
Which is typical.
Yeah, I'm saying that could, yeah.
There are competing forces. It's dynamic. It's got some different dynamics than we've seen in the past. But if you consider that who's going to vote is who's energized right now in the political campaign, who is it that's out because they're energized? It's the young vote. The DSA is appealing to the young people, and I'm going to be doing a story for today for American Family News that, yes, Bill Maher can say what he wants, and he's speaking for a lot of mature Americans.
Lifelong Democrats.
But young people, 18 to 25, who are voting, don't care.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about, and you're right, this is a danger in terms of young people falling in love with this DSA message. I think part of the problem, though, is going to be these elections are turn on turnout.
Right.
And if you've got older, more classical liberals on the Democratic side who stay home, that could make even the young vote enough.
Didn't Bill Maher say he would vote for J.D. Vance over the current slate of Democrat candidates?
I didn't watch the poll.
I thought I read that somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong.
I watched it. He had J.D. Vance on his program, I think, a week or two ago. But Bill Maher said that he would vote for, good grief, who was the Alaska governor, the lady.
Oh, yeah, he said he would vote for Sarah Palin.
I just
but
went
she's
blank.
Not running. But
no,
yeah.
I know, but he said I would vote, because he can't stand her. He said I would vote for her before I would vote for one of these nut jobs. So that's it. Now, I don't know, he might have said the same thing about J.D. Vance.
Yeah. Well,
so
I think Joe Rogan said he might vote for Vance.
Who did?
Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay. That wouldn't surprise me.
But this was part of what, I hate to keep quoting Bill Maher. I just am just very interested in this kind of classical liberals splitting with the socialists. But he said, kind of exactly what you're saying, Tim. He said, and this was in the clip you played, do you want to lose swing states? You don't want to make this about the wackiness and the anti-constitutional nutty left.
I tell you where that might play out, Michigan.
Yes.
There is a Senate race in Michigan to be decided in the fall. And Michigan's been a purple state, but has on statewide elections trends blue, okay? And they have a Senate election. I'm talking about a Senate seat that will go to the Washington to represent the people of Michigan. And there's a good chance that the Republicans might win that.
Yeah.
Is there not?
Yeah, there are two Democrat candidates.
Who are in a primary tomorrow, right?
Yes, yeah. By the way, J.D. Vance, Bill Maher said that he could vote for Vance under certain circumstances, and I don't believe that he was that detailed on what those circumstances were. With regard to Michigan, there are two Democrats. One, Al-Sayed, is DSA, very, very radical. The other is not so radical, but she's very liberal and coming across like the Saturday Night Live character that lives in a river down by the river.
Is this the one that you played her voice?
Yes.
Haley Stevens. You played her voice and she sounded like the
that's her.
The Chris Farley character.
That's her. And yeah, a lot of people.
And the Senator Gary Peters is retiring.
Yes.
And so this is an election that will pit Mike Rogers, the Republican, who's already gone through his primary for the Republicans. And then it's Al-Sayed against Haley Stevens tomorrow.
Correct.
So this is going to be a big deal as to who is going to face the Republican Mike Rogers.
I'm just saying the polling services are showing that he has a very good chance. I say very good. He has probably a 55, 45, 60, 40 chance to win.
Right.
That Senate seat in Michigan, which is...
That would be a flip.
Yeah, that would be a flip.
I think you're going to have a better idea once the primary is done, because then you're going to have a one-on-one poll instead of one-on-two.
And the reason he would win, yes, I'm sure he's a good candidate, but the reason he would win, they're saying, is because the Democrat candidate is so far, far left that...
If Al-Sayed wins.
That independent voters in the state of Michigan can't vote for him.
Right.
Anyway, by the way, I wanted to, before we move on here, Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah.
She is a player in the women's national
WNBA.
WNBA. She played college ball in Missouri, and then she plays pro ball for Indiana, the Indiana Fever.
A teammate of Caitlin Clark.
Yes, Caitlin Clark, that's right. That's their most famous player. But Sophie Cunningham, she's well known.
She is.
In the world of professional athletics. Anyway, was it last week she came out and just said, listen, I'm against biological males playing in women's sports. I believe in protecting young girls and shouldn't have the boys shouldn't be in the locker room. I mean, this is common sense, right? We've all talked about this 1,000 times. Because she was asked about it.
Yes.
And that was her response. And of course, here goes the liberal media and the woke crowd just going after her, in the media and on podcast and in the news and commentators. And she's standing firm. She did an event with, somebody told me, did an appearance with Riley Gaines.
Riley Gaines and one of her, the other person who co-founded the XXXY group that they formed, went to one of her games, and she stood time. They held an event before the game that was not sponsored by the Indiana Fever, because the Indiana Fever is decidedly woke. They posed with her, and she is not backing down from her stand.
No, and this is kind of bizarre, to say the least, that this would even be controversial in the first place. I don't think it's controversial with the American people. I think the American people generally, Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, understand basic fairness in athletics. There's girls' sports, there's guys' sports, and everybody's known that since athletics started, right? But now, she's taking, Sophie Cunningham is getting the Riley Gaines treatment, right? But she's standing firm, and I don't know what all her beliefs are. Sophie Cunningham, I don't know, all her beliefs, but on this particular issue, she's right, and she's bold, and she's courageous. And here I would say this, too, is that these people that say a position like Sophie Cunningham or Riley Gaines holds, that is separation of the sexes in sports, is somehow transphobic. That's transphobic. Well, you know what? First of all, if that's transphobic, if it were me, I'd say so be it. Call me whatever you want
to. It's a made-up term anyway.
Just call me. If you want to call me transphobic, go right ahead. I'm not, but if by that you mean I hate people just because they say that they're transgendered, that's not true. But go ahead and put that label on me if you want to. But here's the thing, that the people that are proponents of transgendered athletes being able to play in girls' sports can only do that when it's theory. Okay? So if this were mainstreamed, and it may yet become that way, by that I mean you really had males playing girls in professional sports where big money's involved, like tennis, for example. You want to see how fast these the woke athletes who are women change their mind? Is if they were to get booted out of the tournaments and millions of dollars because some dude says he's a girl and wants to play against them. That may yet happen sometime because there's big money in tennis. There's big money in golf. There's big money in some of these girl basketball athletes make pretty good money. So and other sports too.
What you're doing is you're demonstrating why it's so unfair for the high school athletes that have to compete against these boys because they don't have a say. It's forced on them. But the victory means every bit as much to these high school girls that are required to compete against boys as these NBA, WNBA players or track athletes that win big money and would protest and wouldn't allow it.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody, today on the program. Today's issues. Thanks, as always, for listening. My thanks to Ed, Steve, Chris, Brent, and
Tim Todd.
Tim Todd and others on our team here. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.